Welcome to another edition of the Mina's House podcast. It's your girl, Mina Say What. So I'm really excited to be talking to someone today. Another female. She's a pretty face, new to the game, but is someone that you definitely want to pay attention to. Jaylani joining the pod today. Woo!
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
Jaylani, I love your name. Tell me about, does it mean anything? It's just such a beautiful name.
Oh my God, my name is so problematic. So first of all, I love how you were just able to say it the way that it's supposed to be said, because a lot of people call me Jaylani, Jaylin, Jalan. Like, I hear all types of just people butchering my name, but Jaylani don't really mean anything. It's my middle name. So my first name is Iris, and then originally my dad came up with the name, and I was supposed to be called Leilani.
Oh.
And then one of his coworkers had a baby girl like before him and then stole the name Leilani.
What?
Yeah.
People out here stealing names?
So he was like, nah, fuck that, like, Jaylani now. So that's what it is. But yeah, that's the name that most resonates with me. So that's what my family name is. Like, when I was growing up, that's what my mom would call me. And then in school, people would call me Iris. So In Delaware, where I'm from, you'll hear half of them call me Jaylani, half of them call me Iris, but it is what it is.
Well, I love Jaylani. You ever thought about like adding a last name to it, or are you just going to be like Jaylani, like Beyonce?
No,
Jaylani.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be Jaylani.
Jaylani.
For sure.
I love that. Yeah. So you started singing in choir at 3.
Yeah.
I don't think I could even talk yet, like fully at 3. Like, how do you start singing in a choir at 3?
So, growing up, my parents were very religious. There was this church called Nueva Vida, and
You went to a Spanish church. Yes. Girl, they don't play.
they do not play
at the Spanish church, okay?
Yeah, so before like the sermon started or whatever it was, there would be like the kids part where the kids would sing the same 3 songs every Sunday, and I would be there in the middle ready to go, like performing, putting on my show. And I think that was one of the first memories of music for me, honestly.
So you are a rapper, right? But you do some singing on the side. How would you describe yourself primarily? Like, are you a rapper or a singer or rap singer? I don't know.
Yeah, I would consider myself a vocalist. Like, I can sing, I can rap, like I could do a mixture of both. Like, it just depends on what the vibe is. I really pride myself in being super versatile. Every song I make is a little bit different. Like, I've been trying to like stick to one little thing just for the sake of like the label and stuff, but honestly, like, I could take it wherever. And this next project I'm dropping is gonna be like more like rap motivated, but later in the future y'all can definitely expect like a full R&B album.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah,
so you mentioned the label. Jaylani here is the new signee to Dream Chaser Records. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So you're signed to Meek Mill and you're from Delaware. That means something more because you're from this area. You literally witnessed Meek kind of grow into what he is now. And I feel like people that are from this area that are signed to Meek, it's more special. How does it feel for you being from Delaware and now being signed to Meek Mill?
Well, I mean, growing up, Meek was like a household name. He was a staple. Anywhere you go, like, you would hear his music. Even before Dreams and Nightmares came out, like, we were on his mixtapes heavy. So just for him to be such a part of like my teenagerhood, however you call it, and then being in this position now, it's just full circle. And fun little fact, when I moved to Miami, I got tapped in with this music guy out there, and he was really cool with Meek. And one day he was on FaceTime with Meek. This was in 2019. And he said, hey, I have this artist in my house. Like, you should hear this song she just made. And Meek was on FaceTime, and I was there, like, you know, whatever, whatever. I don't know if he even remembers this. Meek, if you're watching this, I don't know if you remember this, but this was like a real thing. I even tweeted about it. I was so excited. So just for everything to come around full circle is just like, damn, like, I know I'm meant to be in this shit.
Yeah.
For real.
How did you go from like being in the background of a FaceTime with Meek to actually meeting him? What was that like?
Yeah, so basically, In the beginning, I was working alongside Danny Garcia. We met in passing, and he introduced me to his sisters. And then from there, I started helping them develop their music, and then we would make music together. But he was like my primary like person, making sure everything was in order for my career as well. So we put together this music video for this song I created called 512. And Meek saw it, and then he DM'd me. And he was like, hey, are you signed? And I was like, no, like, I'm independent right now. And then a few months had passed, or maybe not a few months, maybe a few weeks had passed, because he had DM'd me around his birthday, so he had a lot going on. And then maybe a few weeks later, he saw me performing at this show in Delaware, and I had the crowd going crazy. So he was like, yo, like what's up? What are we doing? Mm. So I was like, what's up? Like, I'm waiting on you. So he had sent his playmaker, Garcia, to come talk to me and Danny about, you know, what he wants to do. He got me in the studio for like 2-3 weeks. I made a lot of songs. And then from there, I went to New York, and that's when I met Meek. And everything that I worked on, he was just like super impressed.
So the day that you meet Meek, is that the day that you got signed?
No.
Okay.
No. It took a while to get signed because, you know, the legal stuff of it. But from there, we kind of like had a talk. He had brought me back to New York, and then we had a talk in one of his houses out there, and he was just like, look, this is what I want to do with you. This is what I could offer you. Like, you know, I have a team of people that could support you and stuff like that, and I really want to take it there with you. Like, I really believe in you, and I think that you got it. So I was like, all right, like, cool. Like, let's figure it out. But since I already, like, told him, like, I'm rocking with you, he just started taking me, like, out the country with him. From there, we went to Portugal for his Rolling Loud, Miami trips, Atlanta trips, like, everywhere. New York, like, I was just, like, moving around, for real, Bahamas. And then, you know, around Powerhouse was when I actually signed. So I would say it took maybe, like, 5 to 6 months for me to really, for us to get to a good place.
So that Powerhouse premiere announced you in October. You had just signed, like,
signed
that was
that
fresh.
Day.
What?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I signed that day.
Wow. And that must have been a full circle moment for you. You know, you're signed, you're at Powerhouse, he's introducing you. What a day. How would you describe that day? How do you remember it?
You know what's crazy? Like, I always had this dream. I don't know if everybody has recurring dreams, but I've always had this recurring dream of me being on a stage, and it was like so many people, and that I was like on the right side of the stage, just looking over everything. And when he brought me on that stage, like, it was like deja vu. Like, that moment hit for me. Like, that dream that I had, it was like right there in front of me. And I didn't even know that he was gonna call me up and introduce
me. He does
me.
That to a lot
I
of
was,
people.
I was super humbled. Yeah, yes. I was like, damn, like, I wasn't even expecting that. So.
That's Meek's MO. I've seen him do that to so many people. Like, come on the stage. Like, me now? You want me to perform? You just gotta be ready to go.
Yeah.
You gotta be ready to go.
Not for sure. I wasn't nervous, though. It felt like I was where I needed to be. I felt confident.
What do you think he sees in you?
I think what's special about, like, our friendship and our business relationship is that, like, I feel like he really found me through a song that, like, I wrote in a hard time, and it was, like, kind of like a love song. And a lot of people like my rap stuff, but I like that, like, what made him message me was something that came from the heart, you know? Like, it wasn't my hard body shit. It was just, like, something that was soft and, like, personal to me. So I think that he sees my versatility. I think he sees, like, you know, how I could be that hard body rapper, I could be that sexy rapper, I could be the R&B rapper, and not a lot of people can wear those hats at once. So I think he likes my versatility for sure.
Yeah. So you're definitely, I would say, like, the latest Dream Chasers, you know, the newest member, I would say. But who's on the label now? Because I know there's been some shifts.
Well, I mean, From my understanding, we got EKT40, Young Ro, Core, me. We got Tafia in Miami. Oh, Diamond Street Keem. Mm-hmm. Diamond Street Keem. I still haven't met him, but he's dope, and I want to meet him soon. But yeah, that's everybody that's on the label from my understanding.
Yeah. Meek had announced a Dream Chasers compilation called La Familia, mm-hmm. which is obviously a nod to Jay-Z and you know, that timeless project.
Definitely.
Have you guys started working on that? Has he had any conversations with you about that?
Not specifically, but like it was a point in time where we were all in the studio making music. So I'm sure when that does come out, it's going to be stuff that we've made before. Cause I've worked with mostly all of the artists, even Meek, me and him got a couple songs together. So I think that eventually we'll sit down and like pick out the songs that we want for that, but we're always working, so there's more than enough songs.
He got y'all working out here.
Yeah, hell yeah, you got to.
I love to hear that. Mm-hmm. I love it. How involved are you in the business? Because I'm picking up on you saying I wrote this, so yeah. You're clearly writing, you know, your songs and your raps. How involved are you? Do you write everything? Are you producing? How involved in you are in the video aspect of it? Because your videos are fire.
Thank you.
Like fire. The editing, you know, the colors that are used. I mean, the how they're shooting you. Just, I love all your videos. How involved are you in all of that?
I am involved in every single step of the process. It can be overwhelming at times because I feel like people expect for like you to get signed and everything is just like flowers and candy and roses, and it's not like that. Like the workload just becomes even more. Like you become your own boss at that point. You're solidified. You have the cosign, and now it's your job to really start calling the shots. Well, in my situation, like everything that needs to be done, I have to make it happen. Like I gotta push that button. I gotta make shit shake. Like if I don't wake up and figure it out every day, like it won't get done. But as far as the writing goes, I write all my music. The only song that I co-wrote with somebody, which is like one of my favorite songs, was Invite Only. And I'm so open to working with writers. I feel like there's this like, I don't know, maybe taboo-ness in the industry of like, oh, she didn't write her music. Listen, I don't give a fuck. I'm here to make money. And right. And also with working with writers, there's like, they could present you a new vibe or a new flow that you might have never thought of.
Right.
I just haven't found a writer yet that I feel like we have super amazing chemistry. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm open to that. But yeah, I write all my own music, and I'm also a writer for other people as well.
Okay, we gotta get that songwriter's check, okay? Have you fully transitioned to just doing this full time, or do you still have, like, a lot of the times I see artists when they're in your position, maybe they're still doing something else on the side. Have you, like, fully committed, like, no, I'm an artist, and there's nothing else that, you know, is giving me some income right now?
No, yeah, I'm fully an artist right now. Before this, I was a dancer, and I don't want to go back. Like, I just want to, this is my plan A, there's no plan B. But everything that I do to make money now, besides, you know, my label deal, involves my music.
Right.
I'm always doing bookings, features. I just brought somebody on my team that's going to start getting me certain brand deals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Thinking about an OnlyFans. So when you're in this career path, never expect to just make money off your music. As a matter of fact, that money is probably, you're not going to see that money for a while. What's really going to be like generating revenue for you is the partnerships that you make with like brands, like people, like with clubs. Like you have to be a jack of all trades. You can't be shy or reserved. You have to really put yourself out there, at least in the beginning.
Yeah. I'm happy you're saying that. You said you were a dancer, like a stripper,
mm-hmm, yeah.
In Delaware?
No, in Philly.
In Philly.
In LA, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
So talk about what being in that life taught you, and that you're now, what like skills did you learn there that you're bringing now into your artist career?
Well, I feel like it taught me a lot. The music industry and the dancing industry is very similar in the sense that they can be both very cutthroat.
Yeah.
And it's also both male dominated. So I feel like I apply a lot of the skills that I learned, like, through dancing into the music industry as well, in the sense that, like, I know how to control the room. I know how to talk to men. I know how they like to be talked to, not even in a sexual way either,
right?
But I've had so much communication with them that I know how it works, you know what I'm saying? So yeah.
You ever get someone now that's like, I remember you when you was a dancer, girl?
Yes, child. Maybe in my DM, sending me a video of me.
What?
Back. I'm like, delete that. Delete that right now.
Wait, who's saving random videos of people? Like, guess, that's like, weird.
I guess it'll, because you know how Instagram will, or maybe Snapchat or something will show you like a year ago today.
Yes.
And then it'll probably be me like shaking ass. And they're like, look at you. Like, look how far you've come. And I'm like, thank you, but no, don't remind me.
You know, I don't like to compare artists, but I'm having like flashbacks of when I talked to Cardi B and she was talking about her career in stripping, you know, and how she transitioned into being an artist. And I distinctly remember her saying people didn't feel like she could make that transition. And I feel like because she was a stripper, maybe people underestimated her.
Yeah.
But I remember from that conversation walking away and being like, yo, she's smart. She's not like up there, you know, just like, I'm gonna shake my ass. No, she can call plays. And it's so, to me, it's like remembering that conversation and now seeing where she is. I distinctly remember her telling me some of the skills and things that she learned from being in that environment that has helped her, you know, really get to where she is now. Yeah. And not only that, the feeling of people underestimating her because of that.
Yeah.
And she never allowed that to get in the way of her success. And I feel like that's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I love Cardi B. She's a legend. She's a goat. I love her.
So that brings me to like your goal collab list. Like, you have this list of people that you want to like collab with. What does that look like?
Man, Drake would definitely be one of them.
That's a good one. I would say so.
Yeah, Drake feature will just like take you over the top.
And he checks his DMs.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about him. He's like the biggest artist in the world. But people slide into his DMs and he's checking them.
I never tried to DM him. I probably won't either. But like, you know, if it happens, like, I'd be down to work with him. I love Babyface Ray. I love V's. I love all of the upcoming artists. Like, I would love the chance to get to work with them. Like, Anicia Caribou. Cardi is one of them too. Like, I love Cardi. Even Nicki. Like, I love Nicki too. It's honestly like, I don't really have a certain set list. I just go off based off chemistry. Like, if I meet you and we have like a good chemistry going on and we could take it to the studio, then cool. But I'm open to whoever.
There's a lot of female talent right now, which I love, because I remember when it was just Nicki.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think separates everyone? Like, how do you become successful and get to that next level?
I feel like you have to realize that when you're taking this career journey, not everybody's going to be on the same page as you, and not everybody is going to be ready to level up with you. And I feel like when all of this was happening, like, I was trying to gather everybody up. I'm like, come on, y'all. Like the ship is about to sail. Like, are y'all ready? And a lot of people were like,
they're not
a thing, but nah.
Yeah.
So I had to adjust to doing this by myself. I spent a lot of time by myself, and that's something that I wasn't comfortable doing, like, growing up. So I learned a lot about myself just separating myself. And then with everything in Philly, even more, you know, like, it's just a lot going on out here. Mm-hmm. And I used to, like, be in the mix a little bit, but now I just kind of seclude myself. I'm in hibernation, and I'm just locked in. Just have to lock in.
Were you ever scared for your life? Like, because it is scary, and you're working nightlife, right? You're making money. You're putting it in a bag. I don't know if you're walking around with security. You ever had a situation where I'm like, yo, I'm really scared?
Thankfully, no. I always felt like I was okay, and I kind of moved smart with everything. And also, like, I never was really working in clubs, because I know a lot of Philly clubs, like, it's after hours, like, it could get raided, ran through. I was more so working in, like, the the white people clubs, if you would say.
What, like cheerleaders? What?
Like Delilah's.
Oh, Delilah's. Yeah. Girl. Yeah. The food at Delilah's.
That buffalo coconut shrimp.
Girl, I probably have seen you there. You know, I used to would host and stuff.
Yeah.
And that used to be the after hour spot because nothing else was open with good food.
Yeah.
So we used to go there. I've only been there like twice.
Yeah. No,
but I just remember the food being bomb there.
Yeah, I feel like that clientele is more like businessmen,
right.
Real estate. Stuff like that. So I never really was scared. But Philly is Philly. Like, it don't matter. Because as soon as you walk out of Delilah, something can happen.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk
especially
out of
on the strip
city,
right there.
Something can happen. So I'm always mindful. I'm always protected. I'm always moving. You know, you have to look all around you. You can't just be lollygagging and being a dumbass. Because it's possible.
Yeah.
And thankfully, no. I've always been safe.
You're very pretty. And in the videos, you have a lot of makeup on. But right now, you have minimal makeup on. And you're just beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you in a relationship? Like, how do you balance that?
Right now, yeah, I am involved with somebody. It's been hard.
Because I in one of your songs, you're like, this guy got mad that you were hanging out with Meek. And that happens. Right? Like, wait, you're hanging out with Meek Mill? What? You know, it happens. People are going to get jealous. They're going to think the wrong thing is going on. You know, they're always going to jump to, like, the negative.
I just feel like, you know, it might be a lot to deal with somebody like me because I'm on the go. Like, I put myself first, and I take whatever opportunity presents itself. And a lot of what I do involves around being around other men. So, you know, I have to be with a person that is secure in themselves. And it might take a little bit of time. Like, it took us time to get to, like, and understanding, like, this is going to be my life, and, like, you're going to have to get used to it or, like, get the fuck out. Respectfully, love you, but, like, it is what it is. It's not going to change.
Well, I think you have the right mentality, and you said it earlier, like, everybody's not going to come with you. And, like, your life is going to be, like, a series of chapters.
Yeah,
it's literally going to be a book, and you're going to be like, okay, this person was cute for this chapter, and this, you know, until you find someone that understands and supports what you do, because your partner is always going to want to uplift you and push you, not say, oh, you hanging out with Meek, I'm, you know, what you doing? Like, yeah, if she's getting signed by Meek, you should be happy. Yeah. She's making money. Like,
and hello.
Yeah, so you're going to learn certain people don't have the demeanor to kind of, like, fit this life. And when you find that person, that's going to be your person. Yeah. It's not going to be a lot to ask for.
I can't wait.
I know. I love you. You're the best.
I love you.
Black and Mild, I love. Please watch the video. Shout out to the CNG twins. My girls are in there. Shout out to Danny Garcia, who manages you. So Danny, like, you know, plugged us together.
Yeah.
So what's going on with your project? Because I know you said you're going to be dropping, like, a rap-heavy project. And this will be your first official project with Dream Chasers, correct?
Yeah, definitely. So right now, we're just ironing a couple things out. The project is mostly done. And we should be coming up with a date really, really soon. So I'm excited. I'm going to have the summer on lock.
Love it.
Yeah, if you don't know who I am now, I promise you, you're going to know who I am really, really soon.
Listen, they will, because I was tapped into the raps. I said, what?
Yeah.
Okay, we writing real-ish. Like, and you're so sweet in real life. But in your raps and your music, you turn into, like, a different person. You're like a beast. Like, is that part of your personality, or is that your rap personality? Like, how do you tap into that?
I feel like it's definitely a part of my personality, or maybe I should say, like, what I rap about is things that I've lived through, like, things that I've done. It might not necessarily be the headspace that I'm in right now, but since I've lived through it, I could always pull from those experiences when I need inspiration. But right now, I just feel like I'm in my peaceful, soft girl, lover girl era. Like, yes, it could get on that. I could get on that, you know. I could get on that mean shit. I could get on that raunchy shit. But I'm in a new chapter, for real.
What's your favorite bar that you've written?
Oof.
I know that one's a curveball, but I was just wondering.
Damn.
Because when I was listening to your music, I'm like, she dropping bars. Like, I don't know how she put this together, but she put it together, and it works.
Oof, that is really, really hard. I cannot think of one. It'd be so many.
Nothing when you wrote it, you were like, damn, I did that.
All I do is write all day, but Oh my God. So I'm dropping this song called Disbelief. And I said, stay with the machines. I feel like that little one bitch, Florence. And I don't know if y'all know who Florence
in the machine
is. I was like, oh.
Love that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite bar someone else has written? Like maybe a song that inspired you or something that someone else wrote where you're like, ooh, man. Because I would imagine as an artist, you're really dissecting other people's music.
Definitely.
You know, and most of the time when people consume music, they're looking for the beat. They're trying to turn up. I don't think this is a generation that listens to bars. I still do. But I love that your music is a combination of all of that, right? We're turning up, you know, but you're really spitting, like, you got bars,
yeah.
You know? I'm sure you listen to other artists' music in a different way because you are writing your own music.
No,
yeah. Anything come to mind, like your favorite bar from someone else?
Ooh, like, since I was a kid, Over My Dead Body by Drake is one that I could always go back to and think, like, wow. It wasn't a specific bar or anything catchy that he said, but if you're familiar with the song, he's talking about, like, his life and, like, his story and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow. Like, that spoke a lot to me at the time.
Well, your album's coming out, your debut Dream Chasers album. What is it called? Do you have a name for it yet?
Oh, I don't want to put it out yet.
Okay.
Because
you got to build the promo.
Yes, not only that, but I do have a name, but somebody the other day presented another name, and I was like, wow, like, that's hard too.
And someone might steal it, like that guy that stole your name.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? I'm going to let y'all in. So, When I always said for years and years, I was like, when I drop my first project, this is what the name is going to be. And I told it to a friend of mine, I love you, you know who you are. But then he named his album that same name. And I'm like, and then he dropped the merch with the same name. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no.
Damn, they be stealing your names your whole life, girl. You got to keep it close to the chest.
I got to hold it close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jelani, thank you so much. How can people find out about you? What do you want them to know? You know, just. It's all, the floor is yours right now.
Yeah, so y'all can find me on Instagram, TikTok, everything, Twitter, the same thing. Well, not Twitter. Y'all can't get my Twitter. I've been talking shit. But anyway, Jelani999 on all platforms, Jelani on all Apple Music, Spotify, everything.
Yeah. What is the 999 about?
Oh my God, girl. That is
a long story.
It's such a long
Condense story. Condense it real quick. One line. You write music, you write bars.
So 999. I was always a fan of Juice WRLD, so I guess that's where it came from subconsciously.
Yeah.
But it was this time where I was, somebody around me did something really funky and wrong, and it put everybody around her in a fucked up position. So I was just like, you know, playing my cards right, and I wanted to change my Instagram, change a couple of my things really fast, and that's just the first thing that came to my head. That's
all
really
right.
What it was.
Jelani, okay, I am so excited about you, girl. Thank you for coming on. It's the Meanest House Podcast. You make sure you keep up with this girl because she's writing her music, she's spitting the bars, and she's involved in her own business. Okay, and that's very important. Meanest, say what? Thank you for watching. It's the Meanest House Podcast. Mwah.
Bye.